Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We continue our homilies on the spiritual life. And I mentioned there are three pillars of the spiritual life: prayer, spiritual reading, two of which we've already dealt with, and then finally, rooting out our faults, our predominant faults. So we want to deal with our predominant faults and how to come to knowledge of them and how to root them out. A predominant fault is a defect in us that tends to prevail over all of our other defects, and thereby over our manner of feeling. In other words, it determines how we feel about things, our judging, sympathizing, willing, acting, everything. It tends to affect everything. It is normally the strongest defect, or it's the one that undergirds, it stands underneath all the others. For example, sloth, gluttony, sensuality, anger, pride, or things of this sort. It is interior. That's something that we very often notice externally, but it's an interior thing. And it's often very deep, but imperceptible. Very often we are blind to our sins and faults. Why? Because when we commit a sin, we're actually committing the sin because we're choosing it under the aspect of the good, which blinds us to the evil of it. And therefore, and because St. Thomas makes the observation, when we consider ourselves, we get a certain pleasure out of it, we tend to be blind to the things that we're doing because we get a pleasure out of considering the things that we do. And so as a result, very often it's hard for us to actually see what we're doing is wrong. It often leads to many other kinds of sins and other defects. That is, our predominant defect tends to be the one that causes many of the other ones. The predominant defect is dangerous, as it is often compromises our principal good points in our personalities. In other words, very often people have good aspects to their personality, but it becomes distorted or compromised. So what does this mean? Well, normally we have to, the good parts of us we develop more by grace, and then the other parts we actually that aren't good we try and root out. But very often God will give us a particular gift or perfection, but it becomes compromised by our defect. Now let's be clear about one thing. One of the first things that demons do when they assess a person's character is they look at its good points and its bad points, and they immediately go after the good points. There's this thing called the demonic inversion. You know, you've heard me talk about it before. And basically what it is that the good things that people do or that they think they're doing, they'll get them to do the opposite. Or they'll actually get the person to think they're doing one thing when they're doing another. Or the person will fight against one thing that they consider evil, meanwhile getting them to fall into the very thing they're fighting against. Now, I made that observation in relationship to many traditionalists who fight against modernisms, but they themselves become modernists in the process. But this is what happens very often with our good points, that the demons will invert it so that it actually becomes our downfall very often. It is of primary importance that we recognize our predominant fault and have no illusions about it. If you don't think you've got a fault or predominant fault, well, I've got a way that you're going to find out about it. There is so much more necessary, this is so much more necessary as to our adversary, that is, the demons, and the enemies of our souls, because they know it well. They know your predominant well. It's basically like putting you on remote control. If you don't root out your predominant defect, then all the demons have to do is press the button that has your predominant defect, and you'll just do whatever they tell you to do. The predominant defect is often the thing the devil makes the most of, because it's the thing that we are the most blind to. So how do we discern it? How do we come to knowledge of our predominant defect? For beginners who are sincere, it's usually very easy. They just look at the thing that they seem to fall into the most. But sometimes the predominant fault is less apparent because it tries to hide itself and put on the appearance of virtue. For example, pride closes itself in outward appearances of magnanimity. That is, look how good I am and how great I am and how smart I am and how I know these things and look how good of a traditionalist and Catholic I am, that kind of a thing. And pusillanimity seeks to cover itself in those things that are humble. In other words, if a person just isn't strong enough in soul, they'll very often say, oh, well, you know, I know I'm just weak in that area, when it's often, it's just a subtle form of pride itself. First of all, so how are we going to come to knowledge of these things? In other words, because we're very blind to ourselves. It's one of the effects of the fall. And we don't, because of the nature of human knowledge and because of the fall, we do not have direct access to our soul. We can only know what's really in our soul by the outward behavior that we engage in. But that behavior is very often, the underlying motive is hidden. So first of all, we have to ask God for light. If it's dark, if we can't see what's going on, we have to ask for light. And in the past, the tradition always was that you pray to the Holy Ghost to reveal your sins. Now, what's the Holy Ghost? It's the love that God the Father and God the Son have for each other. So you're literally asking the love of God to reveal to you the things that are offending him. Ask him, what's my predominant defect? Because you're going to need grace to see it. Second, ask your guardian angel. He deals with you day in and day out. You know, I've always likened being a guardian angel to dog training. Okay, that was good. Do that, do that, do that. Oh, no, no, no. Don't do that. Don't go over there. Oh, don't, that wasn't good. You know, that kind of a thing. Well, that's what he's dealing with you all the time. So ask him. He knows what it is. He sees it very, very clearly. But you have to be careful and be willing to be humiliated. Because if you ask the Holy Ghost and your guardian angel to reveal your faults to you, you may get deluged. About 50% of the people that ask end up just getting a flood of information about themselves, which is very often humiliating and depressing. But they should be encouraged, because this is a sign that God is giving them the grace to overcome it. And about 30% of the people actually discover the fault. They may just discover one thing, but they are very often discovering. Very often it comes in a way that you would not have otherwise recognized it. People very often come to me after they've done this for about 2 weeks, praying to the guardian angel every day and praying to the Holy Ghost to reveal the predominant defect. They'll say, I never realized I was like this. About 20% don't get anything because they usually know what it is anyway. Next, you have to seriously, seriously examine yourself. Not this, kneel down, quick, say a few prayers, and then think, what did I do bad today? That's not it. You've got to take some time seriously thinking about it. Ask yourself why you do these things. If you're committing impurities, ask yourself why you're doing it. Very often, impurities are not committed because of impurity. They're committed because of other reasons. Sometimes people have a certain hatred for politicians and things of this sort, but that hatred has a why. Why do you hate them? It's because you don't want to suffer the fact that we finally got a leader we deserved in this country. That type of thing. And don't look at just the things you do. Look at the motives behind why you're doing it. For example, sometimes people suffer from anger, which is the thing that's most apparent, but it really is rooted in a fear of suffering, which drives them to be vindictive against other people because they don't want to be hurt themselves. You have to ask yourselves, what is generally the cause or source of my sadness or my joy? In other words, what do I take delight in? What is it, the things that make me depressed? Because very often that can reveal to you that you don't have a virtue in a particular area, and that's what's making you sad. You should ask, what is the general motive of my actions? What are the ordinary origin of my sins? In other words, where's my sin coming from? Especially when it is not a question of an accidental sin, something you just kind of fall into now and then, but rather a succession of sins or a state of resistance to grace. Notably, when this resistance persists for several days and leads you to commit or to omit exercises of piety. You know, a lot of times people's predominant fault is they just don't pray enough. No one, in fact, is a good judge of his own case, of himself. Here, self-love deceives us, so you have to beg God for the grace to see it. Another way to determine your predominant fault may be to recognize the temptations that the enemy uses. If he's using them, if you're finding you're tempted or inclined to things that you don't want to do, that itself can be a sign. What's he making use of? Okay, so that's We have to recognize we have predominant faults. We have to take the means to discover them. As Socrates says, know thyself. There is absolutely no way to advance in the spiritual life without self-knowledge. It is simply impossible. You have to ask for the grace for that self-knowledge so that you can root this thing out. And in the next homily, we'll talk about how you actually do it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.